Huh? Oh. It's true, we're a church. Ephesians chapter 4. I have hanging in various places this verse. Who can quote it? The one that's hanging around in various places. All right, I'll read it. And be ye kind, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Really? All right, so how do we get to that point? Think about that. How do we get to... We're going to go to some stuff. I'm going to give you some ideas. What sprung this, really, was Sunday morning. There was a verse I read, and we're going to... kind of hint on that in a moment, but it's basically why I put this out here, because the point of getting to here to and be ye kind one to another. Now I put them in classrooms for our little school during the week. There's one in Sister Deanna's, one is Sister Kay, one is Sister Sandy's, and then there's one in the fellowship hall. I want you children, you young people, the ones that go to school, to look at me. You should be able to quote that the next time I ask you. Okay, anybody? No. So, you guys need to work on that verse. You need to quote it, because you never know what day I may show up Thursday, or I may show up Friday, which I'm going to have to in the morning, because I have Brother Jose here tomorrow, and Brother Jeff's going to be here Friday. So I don't have to tomorrow or Friday, but I might. And I'll be nice to you. If I show up tomorrow, I probably wouldn't ask you tomorrow. But you guys ought to be able to quote that. I won't make you teachers quote it unless you just want to study it. I think it's one of those verses, though, that we need to be able to look at. We need to be able to bring back up, because there's a reason behind that verse. It's important, not for just you guys only. It's important for all Christians to have that verse in their heart so that they can refer to that verse when you get rubbed wrong. when things are tough. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Oh, and then it says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We need to remember that.
Amen.
That, listen. What's it say? Even as God, for Christ's sake, forgive us. So that's important. All right. How do we get there? 2 Chronicles chapter 17. We're not going to read that. I'm just going to give you some background, and I do have a few verses in there I do want to read. But chapter 17 of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a good king, one of the few good kings. But he was a good king. At that time, the kingdoms were split. There was a northern kingdom, southern kingdom.
and they were split up. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. He'd done a lot of good things. And as you read that, you'll find out that he did do a lot of good things. Now, in chapter 18, Jehoshaphat does something stupid. And it ain't no other way to put it. It's just stupid. But it all turned out good. I love this story of 18 because what he did is he teamed up with a guy named Ahab. Everybody knows who Ahab is. He was married to Jezebel. Not Bill and Hillary, but Ahab and Jezebel. That's a long story. Anyway, there's a book about that. But anyhow, he was married to Jezebel. Now, he was a wicked king. He was just pretty much a wicked guy. Why in the world would you want to be teamed up with a wicked person? But that's what Jehoshaphat did. He got teamed up with a wicked person, fell for what the guy was doing for him. And he wanted him to go against, how do you pronounce that one place? Ramoth Gilead. He wanted him to go to battle to that deal. Jehoshaphat should have said, you go on by yourself. I ain't fooling with you.
Whoa. Hey, I just lost the battery.
Did he come back on?
No. Testing.
Yeah, it did. I hit it and the battery, I caught it. That's pretty good. It's like catching your teeth. I don't have to. I'm not going to say anything. All right. My wife knows that somebody that happened to. But anyhow, that's why I'm going to have mine screwed in one day. So I ain't got to worry about catching them. I'm going to just have Roger do it. No. So Jehoshaphat teamed up with this cat, and it's like, really? I mean, what were you thinking? Well, and there's, if you study it, you'll find out there were some reasons, but there's really never a good reason to do something stupid. You know, it just isn't. But anyway, so Jehoshaphat said, have you talked to God about doing this after the fact? Have you talked to God about doing this before? He didn't. And then, of course, I've told you this story before. Jehoshaphat, they bring in the prophet and Ahab says, oh, this guy hates me, and what do you want to call him for? And matter of fact, he even looked at Ahab and he said, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be here. But so anyway, they go, Ahab gets killed, Jehoshaphat's spared. He knew better than to be teaming up with Ahab, because he sought the Lord on everything else, but he didn't there, but he was spared. Now, why was he spared? It says in chapter 18, verse 1 through 4, that ain't the verses I wanted. Well, it might be. Who knows? Ah. No, 19, 1 through 4. I knew it wasn't right. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, that's just who you want to meet up with, the preacher, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Isn't that who you want to? Don't you want to show up at your house one night and you go to get out and you're kind of staggering and the pastor shows up? That's kind of the way he felt, I would imagine. Because he knew what he had done wrong. He knew he had messed up. But, you know, listen to what it says. It says, therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. In other words, the Lord spared him because he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. You see, that's what we need to be doing. We want to get to Ephesians 4:32 where we can love one another, we can be kind, we can be compassionate, we can be long-suffering. We've got to prepare ourselves before we'll ever get there. If we get up in the morning and we don't prepare ourselves, we're not ready to do what we're supposed to do. You get up in the morning and prepare yourself before the Lord to go to work, you can handle the idiots that call you. You can handle the people you got to deal with. The teachers, if they get up, and it doesn't matter whether you teach at this, here, or anywhere else, if you're a Christian, you get up and you prepare yourself to meet what you're going to have to deal with that day. Because guess what? You're going to have to deal with kids. Kids push your buttons. They do. The only way we're going to be able to show love, compassion, and kindness is if we'll prepare ourselves. Now, what's-his-name didn't prepare himself. Matter of fact, God said he didn't prepare his heart for the Lord. He was evil. And he was. He was an evil king all the days of his life. He didn't give a flip about anything to do with God. You ever heard of behave? Kids, behave. You ever heard anybody say that? Need to behave. Well, that's biblical. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Who in here likes to behave? Everybody answered correctly. I'm glad nobody lifted their hand. But listen, people tell you it's easy to behave. They lie to you. Do you know when I was training horses, I had to be very careful. Because if I'd done something stupid, they picked it up just like that. Never have to go over and over and over and over. They just, boom. And I about never get it out of them. They just automatically picked it up. It's easy to misbehave. 18:5 says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. Now look at verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Verse 30, then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. If we go out into our life, if we go out into our daily life, adults and you young people, you prepare yourself before the Lord, it'll be a whole lot easier to behave yourself out there, by the way, before the Lord. And you can deal with things a whole lot better. People will even look at you differently. When you behave yourself wisely, people look at you differently. At jobs. Is that not true?
Yes.
It is. I won't say his name, but he works at a gold mine.
I was told he behaves himself wisely. Therefore, they look at that person differently.
Yes, they do.
When we behave ourselves wisely, different than other people, people notice that. It changes even the way they see us. There might even be a little bit of, should I mess with them or not? You know, maybe a little fear in there because it might not be a good idea. We should be behaving ourselves. Now, I'm going to be up front with you. If we're prepared and we behave, it makes things a whole lot easier for us to do. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians. Had to think on that one. I still could be wrong, but then you never know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. No, I must have wrote something down wrong. Yeah, I probably did. Apparently I did. Go to verse 7. For yourselves, chapter 3. I think I wrote something down wrong for 2. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Ah. Now, if we're prepared in the Lord to go out into the day, whether we're going to work or whether we're going to the grocery store or whether we're coming to teach kids or whether we're one of the children at the school, if we're prepared of the Lord to seek Him, to seek what He wants, then we're going to behave ourselves the proper way, or we should be. But not only that, we're going to be the right examples for others to follow. If I'm going to be the right example for somebody to follow me, then I should be preparing and I should be behaving properly. If I want these children or if I want anybody in this church to follow me, I better be preparing myself and I better be behaving. And let me give you a secret. These little ones right here, and that one sitting back there, and that one right over there, they watch you whether you know it or not.
That's right. Come on, preach.
They do. And they behave like adults do. But yet, they get a whipping when they misbehave. But 9 out of 10 times, they got it from who?
Adults.
Now, you don't have to teach a kid to lie. You've got to teach them not to.
Amen.
You don't have to teach a kid to there's things that just happen. They're going to do. We ain't got to teach them. Nobody's got to teach Gracie to lie. Gracie will lie to you in a heartbeat. So will Stella. They lie. Man, they just, out of the womb, the Bible says, pop. And they're lying.
Amen.
They come out. They clean them up and they're lying. I mean, it's that quick. We have to work on them not to do that. Because it's in there. So it's in there to misbehave. But if they see us misbehave, we set the wrong example, it makes it easier for them to do the same thing.
Yes.
Not only that, your neighbors are watching you.
Yes, they are.
They're looking out the blinds. Well, I thought they said they went to church. He just flipped her off. You ever heard of sign language? You know, you're number one. I told somebody that the other day. I've been told that a lot. Wasn't like that. But they're watching us. Everybody's people at our job, they wait to see what your reaction is going to be when it all hits the fan.
Yes, they do.
When I was shooing, and I wasn't even living like I should have been. But when I was shoeing the horse at Dr. Grove's house, and she stomped my foot, which is now cost me years later, he didn't say a word to me. I didn't say a word. I'm just like, I'm walking around thinking, I'll kill her. You know, and he said, is it bad? I said, it feels real bad. He said, well, I didn't hear nothing out of your mind. And I said, you could have read my mind, it would have been different. It hurt. Man, it hurt. And then it happened again, same horse. And he said, wow. Well, he knew I went to church and I was the youth leader and the song leader. He was waiting to hear. They listen and pay attention to what we do, whether you believe that or not. They do. So, we prepare, we behave, and other people see what we do. And it's important. All right. Go to Mark 5. Because this is a good little story. And I like Mark. Mark don't beat around the bush. He just tells it. Mark 5. Verse 25. Hopefully I didn't write that down wrong. No, I didn't. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She'd been sick. I don't know what it was. 12 years. And it says here, she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Everything was falling apart. Life just wasn't good. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind. And touched his garment. Now listen, for she said, in other words, she had already prepared herself for what she was going to do. I am going to touch his garment. I've tried everything else. Nothing else is working. I'm going to go in. I'm going to sneak in. And I'm going to touch his garment. Because listen, she wasn't supposed to be out in public. She had an issue with blood. No. And you surely wasn't supposed to touch anybody. She touched his garment. She prepared her heart to do what she did. See, we need to get up and prepare ourselves and say, okay, Lord, I need help. I want to behave. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be the right example for people. She was preparing herself. See, we need to be doing that. But sometimes there's a problem. Oh, back up a couple of chapters. Mark chapter 4. By the way, she got healed. When she touched him, she was healed. Problem gone. Sobbed. And Jesus, who touched me? And the disciples are like, are you serious? There's people all around him. Somebody touched me? Ah. But why did he know? Because she had prepared her heart.
Yes.
And it drew from him.
It said he knew virtue had went out of him. She prepared her heart. See, when we prepare our heart, it gets serious. Yeah. It's to the point that people, they say, how do you do what you do? I don't know. Jesus? Otherwise, I'd be in prison. Anyway, All right, chapter 4, verse 21. And he said unto them, wait a minute, I might have lied. Oh, not Mark, Matthew. Good grief. They both started with M. You got to give that to me. So back up a few chapters and go into another book. Chapter 4, verse 21, it says, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. He was mending their nets. They were sitting in their boat, and they were mending the nets. Why do you mend something? Because it's broke. You see, mend means repair what's broken. But it also means to strengthen, mature, make one what they ought to be. Yeah. All right, so this is what I want to start with first. Maybe we're broke. And I don't mean pocketbook. Maybe we're broke. Maybe we've been done wrong. Maybe somebody said something stupid. Maybe we're broke. Maybe a family member has broken your heart. Maybe somebody in your life has really upset you. Maybe somebody in the church has really upset you. You need mending. Listen, Jesus is the only one who can do that for you. You see, we need to be repaired. And if you're preparing, He can do that for you. But it also means to strengthen. You see, we need to strengthen ourselves. Mature. Make us what we ought to be. We need mending from the Lord Jesus. How do we do that? We prepare our hearts before the Lord. He helps us to behave. He helps others to see that we're behaving and is strengthening us. That's what we're looking for in life. We're looking to get to that point. Go back to Ephesians 4. See, we want to get to that point where verse 30 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. We need to get to that point that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When my children, where I was raising them, and they did not behave wisely, it grieved me, it upset me. It really did. It's disappointing to know some of the things my children done. It's disappointing to my dad to know some of the things that I did when I was a kid. It grieved him. We need to get to the point that we're not grieving God. You see, when we're not prepared, when we're not behaving, when we're not really seeking what God wants in our life, we are grieving Him.
Yeah.
I don't like that idea. And I've grieved the Lord a lot. I don't like that. So what we ought to be doing is seeking those means to mend ourselves to the point that we're not going to be grieving the Lord, and we'll get to that verse, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what we've got to look at. We've got to get to that point in our lives, and sometimes we think we're there. And then somebody wants to test you. That's to let you know, nope. You left some holes. I have a net at the house. It's a fishing net. I couldn't pick up a truck in it right now. It's got a hole. I need to throw it away. It apparently is rotten. It's got a hole in it. If I scooped up the fish, it'd still be hanging out. We don't want our hearts to be that way. We don't want our lives that way. We want to be prepared And we want, or we should want to behave so that others can see that we can be the proper example. So that we can get to that point of Acts 4:32. I think it would be very important. I think it would be... I think we should take heed to the Word of God and get that right in our life. I think it would be very influential in our lives, not to mention in our lives, but in others' lives as well. Because, listen, that's what it's all about. We're to be the examples of Christ to people. Because there's a lot of them that ain't never going to get it. And if I am hateful to people, I knew a lady, and I won't mention names and I won't say where she was at. She's hateful. She had a few people she's nice to. She's nice to me. A couple other folk I know. She's nice to Sandy, but on a norm, she's just hateful. You ever been around somebody that's just hateful? They're just a crock. Always. Do you know? She went in the hospital. A friend of mine called me. He said, she's in the hospital. He said, they don't think she's going to live. He said, do you know nobody wants to come see her? He said, I can't even get nobody in the church to go see her. He was a pastor, by the way. Because she's just hateful. She was hateful to people. She was hateful to kids. She was just hateful. Now, she had a few favors tricked out. She was nice to me. Because I gave her a dream, I think. She was nice to Sandy because she hung with me. But on the norm, she's just hateful. Biting the kids, biting everybody else, questioning the pastor constantly on everything in the street. He said, brother, she's laying up here in the hospital. He said, now her own kids won't even come to see her. They don't think she's going to live past the weekend. And I'm living out here at that time. And I'm like, brother, I'll pray for her. Well, she's got brother. She just, I mean, they done wrote her off. She's done. She was down her throat. I mean, the whole nine yards. She come through it. She was fine. You know, from my understanding, she kind of changed things. And she got a little better. Because she realized that her hatefulness, her attitude, made people not want nothing to do with her. If the woman had died, I don't believe that anybody went to her funeral. I mean, that was sad. The pastor talked to her children and said, look, she's dying. I don't care. That's what her son said. I don't care. Wonder what she got. But when she got out of the hospital, my understanding is she changed her whole attitude. Don't wait till you end up in the hospital to change your attitude.
Amen.
You know, and I ain't saying that's why God put you there, but it might have been. He could have put her there to say, hey, you need to think about where your heart's at.
Yep.
It's a whole lot easier. Humbleness. You know how important humbleness is. We all got pride. Everybody does.
Yep.
Pride is the beginning of all problems. We need to be humble. Somebody said one time, well, I'm a humble individual. I had Bay told me that, and I'm like, ain't that the opposite? If I can tell you I'm humble, then really and truly I ain't humble.
That's right.
I got pride.
Yeah.
I don't have to wonder when I meet somebody that's humble. I see it. And they ain't got to tell me, well, I try to be humble. No, they just be who they are. That's what we want. We need humbleness. And it's a whole lot easier if you do it yourself than let God make you humble. It's a lot better. Amen. Let's stand and